let's talk about the subject matter of how to be spiritual at any point or position in your life. Because actually, we are spiritual. And we can tell that because as soon as the soul leaves the body's discarded. That part we don't need so much. We're only animating it. And the only satisfaction comes when we feel spiritual satisfaction, actually. The kind of satisfaction that comes from stimulation of the senses, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, is a source of misery. And that's good information to have. Because that's mostly what's being propagated in the world, at least in one plane of existence. That if you just stimulate the senses in the right way or enough times, then you'll be happy. And if you keep doing that over and over again and arrange your life in such a way that you can have stimulation of the senses, then that's happiness. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives another idea about what real happiness is. First of all, to substantiate what I just said, Krishna says, Yehi sam sparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evite adyantavanta kontaya na teshu ramate buddha. That the kind of satisfaction that comes from stimulating the senses has a beginning and an end, and it's the source of misery. And therefore, a wise person doesn't take pleasure in that. And in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about pleasure that comes from within. He says that one who actually takes pleasure within him or herself actually experiences real happiness. And so everyone's in a different place and a different circumstance in their life. And Krishna consciousness should be able to apply to everybody. It shouldn't just apply to somebody who's in a renounced state of life or retired or somebody who's old or somebody who's young, but it should apply to everybody in all times and places and circumstances. And it does. So that's the science of Krishna consciousness, of how to spiritualize the situation that we're in. The first verse that my mind comes to in the Bhagavad Gita in describing that is yat koroshi yat ashnoshi yat johasi dadasi yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurushva madarpanam, where Krishna says in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, whatever austerities you perform, do it as an offering to me. Is it hot in here? Are you warm? You're all right? Okay. No, if you're all right, I'm all right. I'm just making sure. So he gives a list of all these things, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you perform. Do those as an offering to me. This is a way of connecting everything to Krishna in whatever situation we're in. So whatever you do, how do you do that? Make whatever you do an offering to Krishna. Do you have an idea? Well, prasadam, whatever you eat. So let's talk about that then, whatever you eat, and then Ramananda Sakar Prabhu has an idea about how to connect everything that you do to Krishna. Anyway, are we convinced that it's a good idea to connect everything that we do, everything that we eat, everything that we offer, give away? We're convinced that that's a good idea? It's okay if you're not, just say so. That's a start. Okay, Ramananda Sakha has a hot idea.
The easiest way is, which is unambiguous, is directly do some service for Krishna. So that is in a direct way. The indirect way is if you are working somewhere, then you offer the result to Krishna.
Okay. Yesterday we were going door to door, and we met many, many people door to door. It was so fun knocking on all these doors. Right, Shailesh? He was there. And so I was knocking on the door, and then I'd tell people what we were doing. I'd say, we're going all over the Bay Area. In fact, we have the place surrounded, so don't think about getting away. And what we're doing is we're spreading spiritual knowledge. And I said, our argument is that nowadays there's a lot of technological knowledge and know-how in the world, but it hasn't guaranteed anybody, or it hasn't given anybody any extra happiness. It's increased our ability to move faster and to communicate in certain ways, in miraculous ways, actually, but it doesn't actually bring inner happiness. Therefore, we're distributing spiritual knowledge, which addresses the point of how to experience inner happiness, and therefore we ask for your help. I told people we're doing Madhukari. We're going door to door, and you know what Madhukari means? It's like a bee. A bee is a madhu. It goes from flower to flower and just takes a little thing, something. And I say, so we're fundraising, and we ask for donations to help. And oftentimes, many people said, well, how much should I give? And I said, well, ideally what we'd like you to do is to drop everything and come with us and just give your whole life, because that's what we've decided to do. But as a token, we'll accept some donation if you'd like to do that. Give some donation. And that's just what a donation is that Ramananda Sakaprabhu has mentioned. And that if you're working somewhere, you're giving your life energy for that. So if you give some of that, that's some of your life energy, all that you do then becomes sort of indirectly dedicated to Krishna, all that you do. Or, as he said, you can do some direct service. So what does that mean? Doing direct service. She said like cooking for Krishna or cleaning the temple? Okay, so coming to the temple specifically to help clean the temple, help to cook for Krishna, these are direct kinds of services. Any other kind? Yes?
Hearing and chanting.
Hearing and chanting is direct service to Krishna. Yes? So teaching Krishna consciousness to others, to giving to others. In fact, in the last part of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that someone who does that, who distributes it to other people, is the most dear to him. Out of all the population, he said, the person who's making that endeavor to give it to other people is the most dear. So there are direct kinds of services, and there are sort of indirect services that connect us. That covers something about what we do. And Srivas Pandit Prabhu mentioned what we eat. That's also a big part of our life, how we're eating, right? So that process is to cook with offering it to Krishna in mind, rather than, to offer it with love and devotion to Krishna, rather than to cook with lust and commotion. So there's a difference. Just by eating, the dedication to Krishna spiritualizes the activity. And so there's three concepts. One concept is that the material world and whatever I see around me is for my enjoyment. Is that pervasive? Have you seen that anywhere? Where have you seen that advertised that the material world's for our enjoyment? Where? Well, not in here, I hope. Everywhere, like, give one example. One specific advertisement. What specific billboard? Huh? Like, okay. Or how about, there's a new billboard for Coca-Cola that says refresh. I see it everywhere now. Refresh, 99 cents a day. I think, wow, maybe I could be refreshed if I drank that 99 cents worth of Coca-Cola. But that's the idea. And I was thinking about that when I was driving down the road and I kept seeing refresh, refresh, refresh. And then my mind thought, well, maybe I should drink one of those and get refreshed. And I thought of the verse, Jayato Vishayan Pumsam Sangas Teshu Pajayate. Krishna says by contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops an attachment for it. And then after attachment, then one endeavors to enjoy it. And then it becomes disappointed and there's a downward spiral. So the idea of enjoying the material world or enjoying an object of sense gratification, it leads to a progressive downward, well, it leads to a downward spiral, nothing progressive about it, but you progress downward, if that's possible. Then that's one idea of looking at everything in the world as a something for enjoyment. And then there's another conclusion that often people come to, and that is that I should reject the world. Because if someone figures out that by enjoying it, I actually suffer, there's a debt to pay and there's repercussions because of my enjoyment. I might come to the conclusion the best thing to do is reject everything. Have you ever seen that before? Rejecting? Have you ever done it before? You have some enjoyment, and then after a while you say, okay, forget the whole thing, I don't want it anymore. That's possible, right? You were going to say something, Ramananda.
I was going to say that this is what Mayavada sannyasis do, that this world, all the enjoyment in this world leads to suffering, so just give up the enjoyment.
So this is the idea of tyag, or renunciation. So on one side, we call in Sanskrit bhog, we try to enjoy everything and make arrangements of life to enjoy it. The other side is tyag, or then I renounce it all. And there's another path, which is the path of devotion or dedication, which is to use everything that I see in Krishna's service. And Krishna mentions another way that we can connect everything to him in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita when he gives the verse, Rasoham Apsukontaya. He says that I am the taste in water. And what Srila Prabhupada mentions about tasting water is that Krishna is the taste in water, and he's the ability to quench our thirst. And water has a unique property. It revives us and it gives us new life. So that's Krishna. So it's in appreciation. When I appreciate or I have gratitude for whatever things that come, like water or any other thing that comes to me, like air, like the fact that I have digestion, or that I can think, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto, the fact that I have any kind of intelligence to move in the world, I can connect those things in my daily life to Krishna by appreciating them. And in her prayers, Queen Kunti gives a similar item about appreciation, which is very powerful. Shinvanti gayanti grinantyasadava. She says that if you appreciate the devotional service of others, then you also advance to their level. Isn't that powerful? So I think it was Shraddha Devi Dasi wrote back to me, was that it said something about you can appreciate your way back to Godhead? So you can appreciate your way back to Godhead by by appreciating Krishna, first of all, everywhere you go. This is how you can connect your daily life and in every minute to Krishna. Yes, Gandharvika.
This may sound a little personal, Prabhuji, but I think you answered my question, but I'm still struggling how to practice it. So this is just a small story. So yesterday I couldn't come and go for book distribution, so I really hankered to go a little bit. So we went for some time and I was happy that at least Krishna allowed me to go. But then I was only happy until I talked to Vijaya Mataji, because she said yesterday they had a very nice time and they distributed for $1,425. So, and then immediately my happiness went down. But I didn't appreciate. So I became envious. And then all grateful gratitude that I had towards Krishna turned like, I wish I had that, I had that, I had this. And then it became like entirely opposite. So how do we practically appreciate others?
Practice it. So first of all, to change any habit or any way of thinking, first you become aware of it. If you're not aware of it, you just do it, and that's just who you are. It's just how you feel, and that's how you think. Thank you very much. And Sri Uddhava says, by wearing the garlands of the Lord, one can go back to Godhead, just by that. So I readily accept these things. So practice. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked that if about devotees, and respecting devotees. And he said that it's to criticize devotees is like poison. You know, but then he said there's an antidote to that. And that is that if you glorify them, so that's a conscious act. It means in the course of your day, if the tongue connected to the heart, if there's some trace, some slight trace of envy within the heart, then there's a possibility it can come out through the tongue. It can transfer out the tongue, and someone says, "Oh, such and such did so nicely," and then, "Yeah, but you know." Did you see how she was dressed? could be anything like that. It just comes out of the tongue. So Mahaprabhu said that to counteract that, you have to take the antidote, which is to glorify. So, you can stop your tongue, but you can also practice becoming aware of it. And I've seen this in myself. If that tendency, something, that tendency to come out and say something, then you can transfer it. And you can say something laudatory about a person. And in the way of appreciating people, do it the same thing within yourself. When you try to appreciate, just practice appreciating and see what happens. And it's counterintuitive to the material mind that by glorifying somebody else, you'll actually become glorified. But it's a fact. And if you enter into that kind of lifestyle that Trinadapi sunichena, toror api sahishnuna, amanina mananena kirtaniya sadahari. The materialistic conditioned mind thinks, what's in it for me? Always giving respect to others and nothing for me. Don't I have to advertise? Don't I have to make sure that everyone knows that I'm wonderful, that I'm great? But actually, if you withdraw from that and you take the opposite course as a practice, after all, the verse says, one should be ready to offer all respects to others. So how do you get ready? You got to practice. And how do you appreciate what's in others? Practice it. Practice the art of appreciation. It's just like you practice the art of satisfaction. It's a practice. I wrote about this when I was traveling in China. I was sending out these things called bhakti notes, and I was just thinking about satisfaction of the mind, because it's one of the austerities that Krishna says. This is an austerity of the mind to be satisfied. So you have to practice the austerity of being satisfied. And you can watch it in yourself. It's actually a very powerful practice. The mind says, let's go shopping. I got to buy this to be happy. And then you can step back for a minute and think, do I really need it to be happy? And do I really have to go shopping? I could do something else. It's a kind of bondage where the mind says, go do this right now. And if I just go do it right now, I just follow whatever it says, then I'm bound to that master, the bad master of the mind. But if I take a different course, I practice being satisfied with what comes of its own accord, I could step back and say, well, I don't need that. And there's one thing about hankering, or cravings, which could also include these ideas of wanting to criticize. That's a kind of urge. I say craving or an urge. Urges advertise themselves as, I'll never go away, so you better give in. I'll be here forever. That's the power, the immediacy of an urge. It says, I'm here, you better give in or you'll never be happy. But if you can learn the art of stepping back from the urge just for, you know, a few minutes and just watch it, it'll dissipate and go away. And he's like, I'm fine without it. And you can divest yourself one by one of all these urges, and then you're a free person. You become a Goswami, a master of the senses. Because each one of the senses have their own demand, their pent-up demands, and they'll all say, give me this, now, now, now. And you say, okay, just you can use the Haridas Thakur technique. Haridas Thakur, when there was a conspiracy against him, because he was a holy man, see, they were envious of him. And he was such a great person that many people were coming to him and following him, so they wanted, there was an envious person in town, a politician that wanted to defame him. So they sent a woman to seduce him in the middle of the night when he was chanting. And she came in and, you know, made her proposal. And Haridas Thakur said, yes, definitely, I will satisfy your desires, but you have to wait until I finish my rounds. As soon as I finish my rounds, I'm all yours. And then he kept chanting through the whole night, and the sun came up, and he said, you know, I'm really sorry. I didn't finish my rounds. Come back tomorrow. So she came back two nights in a row, and he kept doing the same thing until she became attracted to the chanting and then admitted the whole plot. And he said, I know what you're doing, but I wanted you to stay here and get purified. So this Haridas Thakur technique is when the urge comes to criticize or to not show appreciation or go the other way, you can just say, okay, you wait over here. Fine. I'll definitely take care of you, but not right now because I'm busy. And then let it dissipate and go away. This all goes to the point that these things can be practiced, including learning to appreciate. And so, you know, take the antidote. If you feel despondent when someone else does well, then glorify them. You know, sit down and write them a letter. Despite what your mind said, you decide. You write them a letter, wonderful service. This is, you know, boom, send it out. And change the course. But appreciation is a powerful emotion. It actually, I gave a quote from Voltaire in that little posting I sent out about appreciation. And he said, appreciation actually allows you to attain the quality that's in the other person. You actually attach yourself to that good quality by appreciating them. Think of it that way. Grinanti. And in the spiritual circle, when you see someone else who's doing well spiritually, you connect to them. Another thing that Shraddhadevi brought up in response to that was that that's sometimes a tendency why we avoid advanced people, because why we go for the underdog. Like, and we avoid somebody who's more advanced because, you know, it's painful. Like, they're so advanced, you know. So here's somebody lower than me. I'll just spend time with them. but if we can learn actually to, you know, this is what advanced association, learn to appreciate and pour out our heart to somebody who's more advanced. And wherever we see it, understand that you actually attain that. You get that from doing that. And those who glorify others, selflessly glorify others, miraculously, paradoxically, they become glorified. Those who glorify themselves, they become, discarded. People don't like to associate with them, someone who's vainglorious. So, yes.
Just a point on that, appreciate.
Do we have a microphone? Here, right here.
Very small quote. It says, whatever you appreciate, appreciates.
Whatever you appreciate, appreciates. Oh, that's powerful. That was worth the price of admission. Whatever you appreciate, appreciates. You can just leave it at that, as far as appreciation goes. Thank you. That was really good. So the subject is how to spiritualize your life at any time, in any place, wherever you're at now. And the verse I gave from Bhagavad Gita, Koroshi Yadashnashi is Johosi Dadasiyat. Krishna says, just offer everything. And offering is a kind of appreciation, isn't it? Really, it can come in the same category. When you offer something to Krishna, you're doing it out of appreciation. Or learning to. Learning, you know, it's even if you do it before you have that full appreciation, you learn to appreciate. Because there's a reciprocation. I remember when I first started reading the Bhagavad Gita, I was going to high school, and I was walking to school one day, and I had an apple. And I had read about offering Krishna a fruit, a flower, a leaf, water, and I didn't know how to do an offering or anything like that, but I just read Bhagavad Gita, so I remember I used to offer every bite. So I'd offer, and then, you know. And with a spoon, too, I'd take the spoon and say, take that. When I got to the temple, they said, no, 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 don't do that. It's already offered. But I remember once when I had read that verse about Krishna saying, offer me with love and devotion a fruit. And I thought, I have a fruit. I'm going to offer it to Krishna. I kept offering every bite, you know, before I'd bite into it. And I felt reciprocation immediately. And it confirmed that verse for me. And I was, and then I couldn't think of more. I was thinking of more things I could offer. And so, you know, a lifetime of offering things out of appreciation. You can see it if you offer gifts to other people. What you create there is an exponential experience. just like there's certain herbs that are powerful in themselves. When you mix them together, they become super herbs. And when Maharaj was here, he was talking about oxen. You know, one ox is worth one ox power. Another ox is worth one ox power. But you put them together to plow the field, it's worth 7 or 8 ox power. Somehow there's a synergy between the two when they come together and they get enlivened. So similarly, when we show appreciation, also we give to others from our heart something. There's a magic, a synergy that happens in the exchange. And giving to Krishna, giving to the devotees, this spiritualizes our life. So these are a few ideas that we have about making your life spiritual in whatever situation you're in, wherever you are. Okay? And now we're going to have an artik ceremony, which is also all about appreciation. We're offering items to Krishna out of love and appreciation.